Story Night is taking a bit of a turn with an upcoming event. For the very first time, the organization is producing a scripted event, and the Boise Philharmonic is collaborating on this unique storytelling experience. Joining me live in studio to talk more about Story Night is Jody Eichenberger with Story Night and Hollis Welsh with the Boise Phil. Welcome, both of you.
Hello.
Thanks, Gemma.
Okay, this is a truly unique storytelling event. And Jody, maybe start with you on how you're taking seven different stories and weaving them together, and this is scripted.
That's right. In fact, I have right in front of me the first time Story Night has produced a script, and it was a really interesting process to come up with this script because the storytellers, who we call storytellers, both submitted written transcripts of their script, and then we also did oral interviews that were just conversations, and the final script is a mixture of those two ways of telling stories, both in a written form and in an oral form. And 99.6% of the words in the show are their words from one of those sources.
So how did you come up with this idea? I mean, because it really does go off the path of what Story Night normally does.
It does. And Story Night has traditionally been a place where we go off the path because it's always been about featureds only, no story slammers or people who come out of the audience in a spontaneous way. So it's always been a curated show. This is the first time we've done a script, and it's the first. And the reason for the script is that no storyteller starts at the beginning and then finishes on their own. They're all mixed together. They travel together through the story. And the idea for it actually came from another company that I worked with in the past. It's Ping Chong and Company out of New York. And he has a series called Undesirable Elements, where he takes seven storytellers, well, not necessarily seven, but several storytellers, and they craft a script together that weaves the stories all together. The main difference, and I'm sort of proud of this, is that in his version, he knows what all those seven storytellers have in common before he even starts the project. With this project, I had no idea what these seven storytellers had in common. We did an open call, said, hey, this show's about a star cluster called the Pleiades. Here's some Greek mythology around it. There's other mythology
as well. Make something up with that.
How does it relate to you? How does it relate to your life? And people submitted, and we have found astonishing connections.
Wow.
And I don't know if I just struck gold this one time or if I can go out again and cast a net and scoop up seven people and find it. I'm being challenged to do that because the board has already said they want me to do this show again next year.
No pressure. No pressure at all.
And then it's a first as well because we don't usually introduce music within the show. We have it around the show. Hollis and I met, gosh, the beginning of the summer, so several months ago. And she had an idea for this collaboration, and Boise Phil actually will be joining us multiple times during the season.
Oh, right. And I wanted to talk to – I wanted to bring Hollis into the conversation and talk about that. So the two of you meet, and does it just kind of spontaneously happen that you're like, oh, we could collaborate in this space?
It really did. I had an idea of, you know, what Story Night is like. But we sat down, and Jody had his season pretty defined. But the details were yet to be worked out. But it did. It happened pretty quickly and pretty naturally. As you said, the stars aligned on this collaboration.
And the chamber groups that Hollis presented as available to us actually helped define our later season.
Oh, interesting.
I knew the themes were going to be based on the periodic table, based on elements. But when she said, oh, we have a woodwind quintet and we have a brass quintet and we have a string quartet, I just immediately was like, okay, woodwind.
Which elements
would work with
to
it?
Me, that's oxygen.
Yeah.
So that's the theme for that show and that's the music that we'll be playing. And then brass was a little trickier because brass is not an element, but we've went ahead and went with a dual theme of nickel and copper.
Mm.
No, I have that wrong. It's copper and zinc, I think, make up brass.
I am not a scientist. Yeah. Do not ask me.
So, you know, finding the themes or how that's going to go. But the string quartet also was a part of creating the process of the script they have a regular repertoire that they play from, as do, I think, all of the chamber groups. Yeah. So I presented that list to the storytellers after we'd selected them. And I said, does any of this music have meaning for you? Like, look at this list. Like, what are we going to put in the show?
Right.
And again, we were just astonished with the response. Dido's Lament figures prominently in one woman's story, where she was in college. She was a theater music major. She did it. This was her first production. So that comes into the show. One storyteller has a framing of the story of Scheherazade and how that involves sisters. There's a character, Danyazad, that I'd forgotten about, who is Scheherazade's sister, who's hiding under the bed, basically, and whispering prompts for stories or something like that. And there also is, in their repertoire of the string quartet, is the ballet of Scheherazade. So that's
so plays
in the show.
Into it, yeah.
There is a song that we commissioned in a way. One of the storytellers has a scene in Spain in a plaza where she goes out and pushes a button on a radio to play this loud music in the plaza. And we went to the orchestra and said, hey, this isn't part of your repertoire, but would you willingly...
Can you learn it?
Can you learn it? Would you put it in?
And they can, of
course.
And
they can, of course, right?
And they are, yeah. And so that now is in the show.
And is this The Stranger in the Night?
I wasn't going to give it away.
Sorry, I have it right here. So I guess I already gave it away.
It was
in my notes.
Right.
Yeah.
And the music does an interesting thing with story as well, because it starts with a very literal, like, this is what she played, Stranger in the Night. But then another storyteller comes in, and suddenly we're moving to a wedding, and it becomes like they're the string quartet at a wedding. And a third storyteller comes in and is just talking about the concept of strangers. And so it takes a third meaning that's, you know, less literal, less place-based, and more idea-based.
I'm speaking with Jody Eichenberger with Story Story Night and Hollis Welsh with the Boise Phil, talking about an upcoming really unique, thought-provoking way for Story Story Night to be presenting with a scripted event. And Hollis, with the quartet coming into this, and of course, you know, they have, you know, they learn a new song, but that's not difficult. They're professionals.
They're very talented.
But how does this differ then from what they normally do? Because as Jody said, normally you play, you know,
part of a repertoire,
and it's, you know, maybe, you know, after the story night or within certain areas, but this is taking
it's
on
weaved into the storytelling.
I mean, it is a part of the story.
It is. And so they're integral. They have cues where they start playing. Some of their, when they stop playing, it cues the storyteller to pick up. And so, you know, it's that dance, it's that wonderful collaborative work. But as an orchestra, they know how to do that. You know, depending on what piece they're working on anyways, you know, it's about listening and feeding one another. And so what we love about this is it's just taking that collaboration to a new level with storytelling and two, you know, sister organizations coming together and showing the magic of collaborative work.
And what's it like for you, for your musicians, to maybe kind of get out of the normal mold of what they do?
It's fantastic. You know, me coming on board 7 months ago, almost, at the Phil, and then just the work that was already in the works there. One of the goals of ours is to really get outside of the concert hall, do what we do so well in the concert hall, but then really take our work outside the concert hall. And our ensembles are a perfect way to do that. They're so gifted and they're so game for, you know, collaborating with Story Night, Tree Fort. We've done so much collaboration already. And so they love it. They love these opportunities.
And Hollis and I both have a background as actors. And so I think we both think in theatrical ways with our respective organizations. And in the staging of this show, actually the string quartet is sort of the sun.
Interesting.
They're the center of it. And our storytellers are the perimeter around them, revolving around the quartet, actually, in a very literal way. The staging has them rotating around the string quartet. And then the audience, this is also another first, I believe. It's the first time Story Night has done theater in the round. So the audience is going to be circling at an outer circle, even beyond that. So we really are creating our own little solar system.
And these are the seven stories you're telling, will these seven women be the ones actually presenting their stories?
They are reading their words. Yeah. So they've been through the whole process. They've worked together. They met basically as strangers in the night. And now they are going to come together as seven sisters, which of course is the more known name for the Pleiades mm-hmm. is the Seven Sisters, which has mythology all over the world, not just Greek background. Right. But we're using that as a platform, which brings us ideas of being invisible, of being hunted in a very literal way, being chased, communicating with the dead. Actually, mm-hmm. I didn't know this until we started researching the show, but the Pleiades is partly responsible for the creation of Halloween. The Druids based it on
mm-hmm.
the culmination of this star cluster. Mm-hmm. When it reached midnight on a certain day of the year, that was when the veil between the living and the dead were the thinnest. And that happens to be October 31st.
There you go. And what you said earlier was how interconnected and interwoven these stories were, but you had no idea that would actually happen.
No, I was hoping for it, of course, because right. that's the whole concept of the show, is that we would take individual points of light, individual storytellers, and be able to draw lines between them to form a story constellation. So it was a leap of faith to think that I could get seven stories and do that. We actually started with 10 storytellers, mm. and then the ones that made the strongest connections made the final cut, I guess I would say.
Right.
But some of the connections are so specific and so remarkable, and I didn't tell each of the storytellers what they were. So the first read-through, they were gasping.
Wow.
And they asked me afterwards, you told them. You told
right.
it, right? You told
You're
them.
You're like, no.
I was like, nope, that's just what mm-hmm. you – that's just the craft of the story, mm-hmm. and you both have this very specific detail that's a part of your lives.
So you can't, of course, do this event on October 31st because children would be quite upset with not being able to
but plus, it's not a Tuesday night. Our shows
are always on Tuesday nights. So, but you're having it very close, October 30th,
October
correct?
30th, yeah.
So when and where, what time?
Right, we're going to be at Jump, which is where we do most of our shows during the year. The doors open at 6 o'clock. The string quartet is going to start playing at 6:15. Mm-hmm. Some of their other music from their repertoire, so that will be something people can enjoy as a mini concert before the show.
Oh, very nice.
There's going to be a little break at about 6:45, and then at 7, the actual show starts. Another first, this show is 90 minutes without an intermission, and usually we do have an intermission, but we're going to go straight from beginning to the end with all of our storytellers and hopefully the audience. I think it's going to be a challenge for them initially.
Mm-hmm. How they can sit through an hour and a half movie.
Yeah. Yeah. But then as the connections really start to appear, I think they'll start drawing the lines and connecting the dots.
Well, best of luck to
Thank
both
you.
Of you. What a great collaboration. So good luck on this next Tuesday, of course. Starry Story Night, October 30th at Jump. It begins at 7 p.m. And I want to thank my guest today, Jody Eichenberger with Starry Story Night, and Hollis Welsh with the Boise Phil. Thanks for coming in today.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.